Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to start out today with a scripture. Jesus is here today. He's always here to confirm His Word. The Word of God is powerful. It's settled in heaven. Cannot be broken. In fact, on top of what Dave was talking about there, while he was saying that, I was thinking about something that happened to me years ago when I was reading the Bible. I turned up to John 14, 13, and 14. And as I was reading John 14, in fact, John 14, 12 was where I started, and I want you to look at John 14, 12, and then verse 13 and 14, and I want you to see how startled I was when I read that. This has been years ago. I read John 14, 12. Now, I want Dave to read that scripture so that there's no mistakes. You can read it right out of the King James Bible, John 14, 12. What does John 14, 12 say, Dave?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Wait a minute. You know, as a Baptist boy, trying to read that, you come upon the scripture. He says there that anybody believes in him. Well, do you believe in him? Amen. Who is him? Is Jesus?
Yes, it is.
So do you believe in him?
Yes.
Well, I thought I did too. I thought whenever I read that, to he that believes in me, I thought, okay, so I believe in him, so what should I be able to do? So Dave, read on after that. What does it say there?
And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father.
Wait a minute. When I looked at that and meditated on that, I thought, Jesus, he walked on water.
Come on.
He controlled the weather. I mean, he can do anything. I mean, even the apostles, you know, they said, look, who in the world is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is he? Well, see, that's what I was trying to figure out. Who is he? Because I thought I knew this Jesus. And then I come up on something like this. To anyone that believes in me. Are you anyone?
I'm an anyone.
Are you really an anyone?
Yes. That's what I'm up to.
Okay, now if he's an anyone and I'm an anyone, what should these two anyones be able to do? But I wasn't able to do it. You know, I mean, I was telling Dave, I said yesterday when the weather was so nice, are we okay? Everybody's okay? Okay. I went out in my pickup yesterday. I opened the door and crawled in and shut the door. I'm out there behind the barn. I'm thinking about these scriptures right here. One more time, Dave. Start right there where you left off and read again. What are we supposed to be able to do?
And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Wait a minute. If I'm a believer in Jesus, I'm not only supposed to be able to do what he does. So what did that say I'm supposed to do?
Greater.
Okay, there's something wrong with this picture. I had never raised the dead. I had never cast out a demon. But I'm reading a book that says I can do all these things. Did Jesus cast out demons?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Did Jesus heal the sick?
Yes, he did.
Did Jesus cleanse the lepers?
Yes.
And he raised the dead, and he turned right around and said, if you believe in me, If you believe in me, not only can you do what I've been doing, but greater things than he said I've done shall you do in my name.
Amen.
I look at that. You know, you ask the average Baptist, average Sunday school teacher, average Baptist preacher, any of them. Can you cast out a demon? No. Do you have authority over demons? No, sermon. When I went to a Pentecostal church one time to preach, I had a little problem with a demon that day, and I got kind of bold and forceful, and I just jumped up there. Like, some of y'all have heard the story about when I was in Kansas City. Kansas City, after the church was over that night at 11 or 12 o'clock, we go to get something to eat, and of course Dave was with us, but Dave, he wanted to go home and call his wife and talk to her. He didn't want to go get anything to eat, so we just took him, and the pastor said, I'll let you and your wife and my wife off at the restaurant, and he says, I'll take Dave on up to the hotel so he can call his wife. So he did. He went left and let us out, and we went to the restaurant, and we sat down. As we're sitting there, a young boy come up to wait on us, and he said, can I help you? And I said, well, maybe you can, but the first thing I want to know is, are you a Christian? He said, no, but my granddad is. I said, that don't mean nothing for you. I said, you don't believe in Jesus? He said, well, no, not really. And all of a sudden, somebody from back in the restaurant said, you can't talk about Jesus in a restaurant. I jumped up out of my chair and turned around and I said, who said that? And this Indian guy or whatever he was, way back here toward the back, he says, I did. He said, you can't say nothing about Jesus in a restaurant. Man, I just bounced out of my chair over my seat. I run back there, run all the way back to the back. I jumped up on the edge of that booth. I reached across and I grabbed him by the shoulder and I said, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I'm doing this in a restaurant.
Amen.
Most of you ain't never seen nothing like that, have you? I hadn't either. But the Holy Spirit took control. I mean, he took control. When I commanded that thing to come out of him, and I said, now then, Lord, convict him of sin and bring him into the kingdom. I said, now, sir, how would you like to invite Jesus into your life? He said, I'd love it.
Amen.
Now then, this is what Dave was talking about when he talks about you need to demand or command my word in my name.
Amen.
That's the way you get it done. We have been given all power and all authority. I mean, all that power is yours. And when you exercise that authority, I didn't understand whenever I would look at there. And the next two scriptures, John 14, 13, and 14, when Dave reads those, I want you to look and see, not only now are we supposed to do what he does, but listen to what it says in John 14, 13, and 14 again.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay, now when I read that, normally, you know, if somebody says something about Jesus in a restaurant, and somebody says you can't talk about Jesus in a restaurant, what do most people say?
All right.
I'm sorry.
I'm right. I'm okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Would you please forgive me? You don't realize the battle you're fighting. So when I see that, when it sees what it says do, many a time I had asked or commanded, or not commanded, but I had asked. I'd ask somebody in a restaurant, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? No, I'm not interested. And so they go off. And so you think, okay, well, I've done my duty. Until you learn that they're blinded by the God of this world.
Yeah.
And you have been given all power and all authority over the God of this world.
Yep.
It's amazing that that man, after I invited him to accept Jesus, and he did. I don't know if you noticed or not there, but I asked him I ask the Father in Jesus' name to convict this man of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God. Did I not?
Yeah.
See, you got to know that no one comes into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Spirit.
Amen.
John 6:44. So you got to know what the Word says. And so when you learn that, then you don't, it says in the Scriptures that if they knew who had blinded their mind, they would repent of that sin and everyone would get saved. Did you know that if we did basically done everything like I did for that guy, we could get anybody saved? You know, I mean, I can remember many times I've had little 10, 12, 15-year-old boys. Usually this is what I do at home. Have a young boy come in here with maybe his dad or mother or grandmother, granddad, and he's rebellious. He comes up here and I say, "Son, you know Jesus?" "No." "Would you like to know Jesus?" "No." Now, who's that talking? That's the devil talking in there. I mean, that's the devil. You know, I mean, if you knew that you could accept Jesus and you would come upon all this authority and power and you could have anything you ask in the name of Jesus, you know, nobody would turn that down.
Nobody
in their right mind. No matter who you are, ain't no way. In other words, I bet you, in fact, if I were to come up and ask him if he wants to go somewhere, a trip to Hawaii, and I'm willing to give him $5,000 cash, can you just hear him saying, "That's okay, Thurman, I don't believe I'll go." Isn't that true? You jerk my arm off. I wouldn't want to get too good a hold on you because you'd be so excited. You might, just as big as you are, you could jerk my arm plumb off. But anyway, we don't know who we are and we don't know what to do. But as I was reading that scripture one day, when I'm meditating on, I'm reading this over and over and over. And that scripture clearly said to anyone that believes in Jesus.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Not only shall you do what I have been doing,
but greater
works than these that I've done shall you do in my name.
Mm-hmm.
So with those promises, I think of people that I have talked to, and you will think of people that you have talked to. When you have a loved one, a mother, a father, an aunt or an uncle or somebody, and they get sick, and you happen to be in one of my healing school classes, and you learn that you can heal the sick. You learn that Jesus says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. You shall go out and you shall cast out these demons. You shall remit people's sin." Remit sin? You mean I can forgive sin?
Amen.
Oh, that's blasphemy. Nobody but God can forgive sin. But that's not what the Scripture says, is it? The Scripture says you can forgive sin because you are a son of God. When you think about that, you just like, well, I'll tell you last night. Just last night, one of my good friends, he was attacked, and they sent him to ER. Cheryl called me in the wee hours of the night and told me, said they sent him to the ER, and you need to pray. Well, I woke up, and I prayed, but I commanded those spirits to leave my friend and get out of his life. I said, "He is washed in the blood. He's a clean man.
Amen.
He's a man of God. Satan, you have no power, no authority. I know you've attacked him, but I demand and command, according to John 14:13-14, I command you to come out of him, leave him, go to the abyss, and don't come back. Now, Father, thank you for healing him. It's done in Jesus' name." I said, "It's done." I hung up the phone, went back to sleep. A little while later, Cheryl called back and said they sent him home. Right after we prayed, said they sent him home. Were we making the Word of God work?
Yes.
When you take the Word of God and you run back to a man that's sitting back there, he's pretty bold to be in a restaurant to speak out and say, you can't talk about Jesus in a restaurant. You don't find many people that's that bold.
Yeah.
you got to be bolder.
Yeah, he had to be bold enough, and then I had to be bolder than that and run back there and grab him. Anyway, after the pastor's wife finally, after I led him to Jesus and everything, and Dave, the pastor took Dave on up to the hotel and come back. When he walked in the restaurant, she says, "Boy, did you miss it." She said, "I have never seen what I seen a while ago." I said, "Thurman kicked the devil out of that man and got him saved right here in the restaurant." And then there's two guys get up and come over here, and he says, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Well, I guess you might say that." I said, "Yes, I teach God's word." He said, "Are you preaching somewhere in town?" I said, "I'm preaching at his church." I said, "I've been here one night and we'll be here two more nights." And I said, 7 o'clock. He said, "You got a business card where the address is?" And the pastor said, "I do have, sure." And he reached in his pocket and he got one. The guy reached in his billfold and took out a $100 bill and said, "Here, I want to buy you dinner." He said, "I've been a Christian." He said, "I thought I was a Christian." But he said, "I ain't never seen nothing like this." Most people ain't never seen nothing like this, have they?
No.
Did you know that's the way we all should be about Jesus?
Yes.
We need to be bold.
Yes.
The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you and me.
Yes.
And some of us are going to have to take it by force.
Yes.
The enemy, yeah, the violent take it by force. Since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of hell. Amen. Matthew 11:12, but the violent takes it by force. So anyway, the kingdom belongs to us. But it's so amazing that the things that we do, that opens the door to the enemy to attack us. You know, I mean, 1 John 5:18, I want Dave to turn over to 1 John 5:18, and I want him to read these scriptures real slowly, and I want you to think about what he's saying. Okay, Dave, read those.
"We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not."
Okay, now meditate on that a minute. You know, when I read that first time or two or a dozen times, I read that, I was like, I can't be born again. I know myself too well. I know that I'm doing everything I can to walk holy in His presence. I'm not intentionally going out and sinning. I'm not fussing at my wife or my children. I'm trying to be a good boy. But still, I know in the best, I read that scripture in Isaiah, says the best work you can do is as filthy rags in the presence of the Lord. I know I can't meet that. So I know I'm a sinner. So I think, isn't that something? I'm a sinner. But he said, again, Dave, what does scripture say? One more time.
"We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not."
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. I mean, that's got to just cut my legs off at the ankles. You know, because I know I'm a sinner. If somebody come up to you like that, you got to know we do sin, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, in the best we do, we still know we come short, don't we, Barron?
Filthy rag.
So if that's the case, then me and you, we lost. Mm-hmm. We're going to hell.
No, not
you need some more information here, don't you? That's what I was at. Lord, I need some help. I need you to tell me what this means. Dave, read the next line. What does the next line say?
"But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself,
okay,
and that wicked one toucheth him not."
Uh-oh. Hmm. If I'm born again, I keep myself from evil. I go to look and do some research on that and begin to find out. That means that I don't go out and practice sinning. Now, that made that a little easier for me to understand. We know that the true children of God don't go out and practice sinning. In other words, if I'm a true son of God, I'm not looking for another woman to sleep with tonight that's not my wife. Somebody says, well, you know, I do that anyway. I said, okay, if you do that, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Because true sons of God don't do that. I mean, you can tell somebody, you know, true sons of God don't practice sinning. Now, if you want to practice sinning, you better take it up with God. Because you may be headed for the wrong place. You may never have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. What's that next line say, Dave?
I'm sorry, forgive me. We read the whole verse.
1 John 5:18.
We'll read it again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
If you don't go out and practice sinning, the evil one cannot touch you. Now then, being bold with the word. Being bold with the word. We're going to exercise our authority. How do you exercise your authority? What do you do? Do you plead? That's just like that time when me and Cheryl was going to Norway. As we're going to Norway, several times she got upset about something. She was trying to get everything packed and everything. Everything wasn't working just like she wanted, so she kind of got strung out. And we get on the airplane. We're climbing out to the top of climb, probably 30,000. And she gets up to go to the bathroom probably for the third or fourth time. And she says, as she goes by, she says, pray for me. I said, honey, I am praying for you. I wanted to say, you need some faith. But I didn't say that because I know that wouldn't be loving my wife. Y'all know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to love the wife, and just like the Lord says, love her. And you need to do that, then that's what you need to do. So anyway, as she went by, I said, Lord, I mean, you've got to help me here. I've got to have some help, Lord. He said, son, you are begging. You are begging. I am not a begging God. I am a faith God, and I answer the prayers of faith, not of begging.
Wow.
I said, Father, I'm sorry. I repent. Now then, when I repent, is that sin gone?
No.
Absolutely, it's done. You don't have to repent it, but one time. Lord, I repent. That's done. It's over. Now I'm taking John 14, 13, and 14, the scriptures that Dave just read a while ago. John 14, 13, and 14. And I am taking those scriptures and I am commanding my wife's bowels and everything to be perfect and no more problem with her bowels or intestines. And we're going to have a great trip all the way to Norway in Jesus' name. Now, did I exercise my authority?
Yes.
Over my wife? She come back and sat down in the chair, and I said, okay, guarantee you won't have no more trouble with your bowels between here and Norway. What, did I believe that?
Yes. Definitely.
We went all the way to Norway and back, and not a problem.
Amen.
And that also, when we got over there that time, they want me to teach in their school. So I was up there going around shaking hands with everybody. As I'm going about shaking hands with everybody, there was an older woman there. She was going to the Bible class. And I walked up and I started to walk up to shake hands with her. When I did, she stuck her hand out, and like Miss Jackie did. And when she stuck it out, it was all shriveled up. I saw that shriveled up hand and I just put mine in like this and I said, may the Lord bless you. When I said that, I felt movement in my hand. I backed off and looked, and her hand was completely normal.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't have to command very hard at all. In other words, here I think this is what happened. I had taken authority and spoken by faith in a command of John 14, 13, and 14, which is a command and a demand that the word of God, which is mine, work. And it worked so powerfully that there was an offshoot of that. When I touched that woman, the power came out of my hand and I didn't even have to speak except just heal. Just Lord, just touch her. And she was instantly healed. And the guy that owned the TV station, he was just dumbfounded. He said, wow, look at this, boy. Just think, that's the kind of power that we're supposed to be using all the time. Just think. What did he say? One more time. John 14:12. Read that, Dave. John 14:12. One more time.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now then, the next time you're with somebody, think about these things. And like Dave said, quote these scriptures to yourself out loud over and over and over. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God.
Amen.
I can do things, the same things Jesus did, even greater things than Jesus did, can I do in his name? I mean, you know, if you do that for there's other people, especially if you go to a normal church, they'll give you a little space. As you go by, they'll give you room. Did you hear that? Did you hear what that guy said up there? I mean, that guy, that big old guy up there, did you hear what he said? He said he could do greater things than Jesus. You better watch out. Give him a little room. He might hurt you. Isn't that a shame?
Yes, sir.
But that's the way the world is, isn't it?
The church.
Who are you? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The greater one lives in me. I'm set free. I have power and authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. In fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, a while ago when I prayed for Christy, she was still having a problem. I want everyone in this room to be believing with me, in agreement with me, that we have been given dominion and power and authority, and we're going to kick those devils of hell out of Christy Madison that has been causing her to have the pain that she's having. We remit all of her sins and her husband's sins from top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Now we are taking authority and commanding, in accordance with the word of God, that every evil spirit will leave Christy and go to the abyss and never come back tomorrow when she has her brain flap put back in. That the surgery will go perfect. There'll be absolutely no swelling, no problems, and everything will work absolutely perfect in her body in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, who can be in agreement with me on that? Is that all of us? Now, he said it's just two of us on earth. Is that what he said? It's just two of you agree. It shall be done. Well, all of us agree. Or is that true? In the name of Jesus. Just think. This belongs to us. I told the Lord that time when I was studying that, and I come to that part about, and whatsoever you shall ask. Then I said, Lord, maybe this means something else than another translation. So I went to another translation, and I looked it up, and it says, the words as you're looking, reading, they say that it, whatever you demand. That's even beyond whatever you ask. I could almost get there, whatever you could ask. But whatever I demand, and I thought, this is a little beyond me. That can't be what that says. So I went to the scriptures to look it up. And it says, not so whatever you ask, but whatever you demand in my name shall be done. And then I finally just humbled myself and said, Lord, I don't understand this at all. I've got to have some help. According to this, it sounds like I can do greater things than Jesus did. And Lord, we all know that nobody can do greater things than Jesus. But what does Scripture say? It says greater works. So you see? The enemy has no problem when you read a scripture like that, when he says, oh, you fool, you don't really think you can do greater things than Jesus did. You are such a fool. And we just say, I must be. And we walk off and forget it. That's just like Miss Carrie. I was telling a lady back there a while ago about her raising Jesus, raising a cousin, from her husband's cousin from the dead. When I went to Florida to pray for her, when she walked in and looked at this woman that looked so bad in hospice, guess what it did to her? I mean, her faith just fell. Went to the floor. And she starts to walk out. And then praise God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, Carrie, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. She'll be a piece of cake. So she goes in there and prays for her, and what happened to her? She got well.
Hospice. Yeah. Only
one that ever come out of hospice. Now, that power that she utilized to her family member is available to every one of us.
Amen.
Just like Cheryl and me last night, or night before last, whichever one it was, when we prayed for our friend, I took authority. In fact, Cheryl told me a while ago, earlier today, or maybe it's, I don't know what time it was. I think the last time she prayed, called me, had me pray was 5 o'clock this morning, I think. I don't know. It don't make any difference. She says, you know, you've got to never quit doing what you do. She said, you know, some of these people can call us and have some of these reports. And she said, I'll think, well, it ain't going to do no good to pray for them. And said, I'll say something derogatory and you'll jump up there and say, honey, we're sons of God. I mean, we have authority over that. In Jesus' name, she said, you'll come forth with a prayer that's out of this world, and you'll kick out the demons and heal the sick. And a couple days later, the person calls back and says, wow, I'm completely healed. Ain't that something? She says, you've got to never quit what you do. I said, don't worry. It'll make a difference if I'm still shaking or whatever. I know that God's got a plan, and he's given me dominion and authority over this shaking. And I'm taking authority over it, and I'm casting this devil out too in the name of Jesus. I command and demand this thing to leave me and go away and to never come back. Now, Lord, thank you that I command my eyes to be 20/10. I don't want just 20/20 vision. I want 20/10 vision, because that guy that had 400 had 2,400. I told him to use Mark 11:23. And I want us to see what this scripture says. And this guy came to a healing school over in Dallas. And he had 2,400 vision. I mean, he was basically blind. He couldn't see hardly anything. And I prayed for him. And I used Mark 11:23. Then I told him, I said, take Mark 11:23 and I want you to read it. Dave, read it for me.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, so I told him, I said, okay, now I prayed for you once here with Mark 11:23. Now I want you to take Mark 11:23, and I want you to pray it or speak it over and over and over every day until your eyesight comes back. He said, how long is that going to be? I said, I don't have a clue where your faith level is. But God said in his word, if you have faith and doubt not, nothing shall be impossible with you. Is that what he said?
Amen.
If nothing should be impossible, then what should we be able to do? Whatever. Anything. So 2 years later, Cheryl and I was over at Kilcrest at a luncheon, and I spoke over there at a luncheon, and this guy come up at the break. He said, you remember me? And I said, no, sir. He said, I'm the guy that had the 2,400 eyesight. I said, well, praise God. I said, you're not wearing glasses. He said, nope. He said, I said just exactly what you said. I took Mark 11:23. And I said that over and over and over and over, over and over and over for 10 months. One day I was driving down the road, and I said, Lord, thank you for my beautiful, clear, sharp eyes, 20/20 vision. I want to thank you that I can read up close, far away, night and day. I'm perfect in have perfect eyesight in Jesus' name. And I heard a voice. You finally believe it. He said, well, Lord, I thought I believed it the first time I said it. He said, but you didn't. But today, when you said it, you believed it. So he said, why don't you take off your glasses? So he said, I pulled off to the side of the road, took my glasses off and laid them down on the seat and looked up, couldn't see nothing. I said, Lord, I want to thank you one more time that I have perfect 20/20 vision, up close, far away, night and day. I can see perfect in Jesus' name. is the sermon. As soon as I said, "Thank you, Lord, for my perfect eyes," my eyes came into perfect focus, and they've been perfect ever since. So see, do you ever give up?
No.
What if at 10 months in the first week of that 10th month, what if he had a quote in the verse? He still wouldn't have no eyes. So you never give up, right? Never, never, never give up. Hang in there and remember. Matthew 11:12. In fact, I want Dave to read Matthew 11:12. This is one that, in fact, before we read that, let me tell you what happened. I had sinned. Show you how easy it is to sin. A man brought a fax in and asked me if I'd read it. I was the engineering director for the corporation, and it says if they sell this corporation, this engineering section might go away. I thought to myself, if they sell it and it goes away, then that means I ain't got a job. What am I going to do? And immediately when that thought came to me, I had an attack of sinus like you've never seen. I mean, it just attacked me. Fluid was running out of my nose, running off my chin. And this guy that brought it up there, he was a general manager. He looked at me and said, "Thurman, what in the world happened to you? It's like a river just broke loose in your head." I said, "I sinned," and I know you wouldn't understand that, but I said, I sinned against the Lord. And he said, "What do you mean you sinned?" And I said, "Well, that's okay. But see, I had failed to put God as my provider." That was the sin. That sin, there was a demon sitting right there waiting for me. And as soon as I made that statement, if they sell it, I wonder what's going to happen to me. I sinned, and he immediately attacked me. And when he attacked me, I knew what I had done. And I knew that's what opened the door for that devil to come in. Other than that, he had no legal claim. But when I just sinned. So anyway, as soon as I sinned and realized what I'd done, I repented. When you see that you have sinned, when you realize you've made a mistake, what do?
Repent.
You repent. I mean, as quickly as possible. You repent and get rid of that thing. And then I started commanding that devil to leave me. Because he's in there now. So I'm commanding him to leave. And after everybody leaves, I had two or three little bouts with him there, and I'm commanding him. I said, "I have authority over you, you devil of hell. Now come out of me and leave me in the name of Jesus." I go down to lunch. As I'm going by, I'm walking, and one of my friends walk up, and I said, "Come out of me, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus." People think, "What is wrong with this guy?" I mean, that's okay. If you do what God says and you try to live a faith walk, there's going to be people think that you have lost your ever-loving mind. That's okay. You're still going to be that overcomer. One of these days, I guarantee it's going to happen to you.
Amen.
So anyway, I come home that night. My wife, she said, "My goodness, you got a sinus fluid drainage like crazy." I said, "Yeah, I had a little attack of the devil today." And she said, "What do you mean the devil?" I said, "That's what that is." She says, "Let me get you some medication." I said, "I don't need no medication. This is between me and Jesus and the devil. And I'm kicking him out." 4 days I fought that battle. Didn't get no better. 4th morning, I'm going to work. I said, "Lord, Luke 10:19-20 clearly says, 'Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me.'" Nothing. So I said, "Devil, I have been given all this power and all this authority, and I am going to kick you out of my life and out of this truck, and you're going to leave, and you ain't coming back." Now, it's done. I screamed that to the top of my lungs, and I said, "In Jesus' name, you got to come out now." And I hit the dash of my pickup, and every dust cell in there vibrated around. I'm telling you, that devil, just like that, my nose dried up and my head cleared. And I was completely healed, and I sat back in my pickup, and I looked up, and I said, "God, that was awesome." And there was a big marquee flying through the clouds, Matthew 11:12. What does Matthew 11:12 say, Dave?
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Okay, so see, it belongs to you and me. The kingdom belongs to you and me. But you will have to learn to take it by force. So we're taken by force, those demons of hell that's messing with Christy and her pain in her body. And we are demanding and commanding those spirits of curse come out of her, leave her, and go to the abyss and never show up again. Are we still in agreement?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. How much power and authority did God give us?
All.
If he gave us all authority and all power, then how much is left? I mean, we're winners, aren't we? Don't you love it being a winner? I mean, I can say that to a champion. He is a champion. You know, when I say things like this, there ain't nobody understands that in his fullest like this man does. He knows what it took to get to where he's at today. He knows the hours it took practicing and weightlifting and all those things to become the world-renowned greatest champion that there is, and heavyweight champion. It's this man. I mean, he knows what it took, and it didn't just happen overnight, did it, Baron?
No, sir.
It took months and years, really, of study and of work and everything to become the champion. Well, let me tell you, if you want to become the champion for Jesus, you're going to have to be in that Word. You're going to have to believe that Word. You're going to have to read that Word and believe it's yours. You can't have this unbelief. Unbelief will ruin you every time. It will kill you. You got to get rid of that. We got to walk in obedience. Got to walk in love. Got to know who you are. You're a son or a daughter of God. And that you got to know that I am not giving up. I'm going to be the winner. Just like when Cheryl and I prayed for our friend. When she told me, said he's been sent to ER. He had surgery a week or two ago. I said, okay, he was out here. Me and Dave, we all prayed for him. And I said, there's something wrong here. So I said, I'm going to get bold and we're going to kick that devil out in the name of Jesus. And the next report I got was they sent him home from the hospital. What did I expect? That's exactly what I expected. When we pray, what should we expect? It will happen. Jesus has already paid the price. He's done it. It's his. It's mine and yours. And he's paid that price. So when we pray, the kingdom belongs to us. You need to know that the kingdom is yours and you're going to kick out that devil and you ain't going to let him do it to you no more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to pray for the ones that need to be prayed for. I want my prayer team to stand up. Prayer team. You know, now, these people that are standing up, you know, we got girls, we got boys, you know, we got girls and boys. You know, so in other words, sometimes people, when they, let me explain something to you. Sometimes when people come up, they want a man wants a man to talk to. Okay, I've got a man here by himself. You know, they can pray for you. But I'd rather not send a woman here. If I got a woman that needs a woman, I got Sharon back there. She's a woman, so she can deal with the women. Baron can deal with the man. If we got a couple, you don't mind being, you got Mike and Gracie up here at the front. They're a couple, a husband and a wife. They deal with husbands and wives. Kim and Scott, they deal with husbands and wives. But anybody will deal with anybody if you want them. We don't turn away nobody. They know these principles that I've been teaching you today. They know how to make them work for you. They know how to get you healed. So if you need prayer for anything when we get through here, you need to find one of these people and get them somewhere, either up front or back to the back or over to the side or back here in the back somewhere. You need to get with a prayer warrior and then you need to listen to what they're going to tell you. So let me give you a little quick teaching here. Number one, they're going to tell you that you got to get rid of all bitterness and unforgiveness and sin. You got to get rid of sin. Sin does not work. It will keep you sick and afflicted. You have to repent of sin. Is that true?
Yes.
And then you need a scripture. Yes. You need a scripture to go to the Lord with. You need something. In other words, if you are going to try to fight the word with no words and no sword, how long do you think you would last if you were trying to fight with somebody and you had no weapons? It ain't going to last long. So you need, you need somebody that knows how to fight and needs the weapons. And the more weapons they got, the better off you are. So they'll show you. These are the things you need to do. And then you need to forcefully repent of sin and kick out those demons and then pray one for another and you will get healed. So don't ever give up. But these are my prayer teams and they'll be here to pray over you, to help you. And then we will go from there. If you want, while you're thinking about it, if you need any of these teachings, they're all over the place. There's over 1,000 different ones. They're all free, and you don't have to pay for them. Just you get them free and postpaid. So if you get by them here today, or take them with you today, you don't have to pay nothing. If you take them with you next week, you still don't have to pay nothing. Is that right?
Hallelujah, that's right.
That's the way we do business around here. Is that right, Baron? We don't charge for nothing. It's all of God's work, His business, so we just do it for Him, right? Okay. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. You can put your money in that. If you want a receipt, make sure you put your name and address and print it for Cheryl can read it so that she can be able to give you a donation receipt at the end of the year. In fact, we've just been through that. Just been through that. She had to fly back from Colorado here so that we could get that done. And so everybody, but we got it all done. And if you give anything to this ministry this last year, you should have a donation receipt in the mail. I mailed every one of them, so they're there. So, okay. If you have any questions, well, after we close in prayer, come see one of these people and they'll get you fixed up. Okay? You can be seated. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for blessing all these people, the ones that need help. Thank you for sending the right person to the right prayer warrior. I ask you to give by the Holy Spirit, may you give each prayer warrior the knowledge and wisdom they need to pray for these people. Now, Lord, I just thank you for the privilege to be your son and to know you and to love you and to praise you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.